Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
I'll leave you with this with Dustin Chafin.
Thank you for listening. I'll leave you with this. Please subscribe to our Patreon page. You can hear all kinds of extras with TJ Miller on the road and Hell Gig stories and behind the scenes of a comedy club in Manhattan. So please support that. I could really use your support. So if you like this podcast, please sign up for Patreon page. It's only like $2 and you can really kind of get some extra stuff that I want to try to add. It's even getting better and better each week. So please support us and I'll give back. I promise.
Yeah, so it's funny with you because, like, I've known you a little while, but I haven't really known you. You know, there's so many right. There's so many people in comedy where it's like, you know, we cross paths a lot, but there's never we haven't done like a crazy hell gig together or anything like that. I'm hoping maybe we'll have more adventures together, but it's very very limited. How much time we spend together? Yeah. This will be the longest we've ever spent time with each other.
Be the first time we spend together.
Well, we'll be like at a bar for a second, roughly talking about who's next and maybe a baseball score or something. But that's about it, you know.
Oh, how shitty Damien is.
he's so funny. Like he's such a. It's so funny when people have like he's like a bad ex, you know. There's people in comedy that are like you keep going back to, and you're like, why am I keep going back to this?
That's the best way of putting it. A bad ex. I started reminding myself of all the bad exes I had. I was like, yeah, and he has the hips.
So. Yeah, oh, he does. Yeah. But comedy is like that. I mean, he's been good to us, or me at least, I guess, a little bit. But at the same time, it's just, like,
no,
really
he's been great to me. But
he's good.
You know when you someone
I'm still like, block him on my phone.
Great, yeah. I got a different ringtone. He comes up as a likely scam.
Yeah, that's the thing in comedy is, like, there's a lot of hustlers, man. Like, just people coming at this game in a hustly way and not just, like, grind it out, you know? You're a grinder. But
I think you mostly have to, like, I think before you get to, like, know someone, you have to see, okay, is he really in this to be in comedy or he's just one of those, like... He used to snap on each other, friends, and go. He decided to do it. You know,
there's a lot of people. Yeah.
So then that's how you rule it out. Like, okay, he's got to grind, so I'm gonna be cool with him. You know what I mean? So it's like,
is that a Nationals hat?
It is. I'm not a Nationals fan. Yes. Yeah. I'm from the hood, so whatever sneakers you have on, what you
match. Oh, you're that guy? Yeah, it looks nice with your watch.
Yeah, watch. Yeah, it's a red hat. Yeah, watch.
I was in Arizona, and the Nationals were playing the Diamondbacks, and it was so weird because it's like, it was an air-conditioned baseball stadium, and it was like, it was like a Panera Bread. It was weird, like, watching athletes play in such good conditions. Like, it didn't feel fair because I'm Texas Rangers, and it's like, it gets hot as hell in Texas, and we don't have any AC to, like, cool the team off.
Like, take up the whole space, you know what I mean? Like,
it was unbelievable
how
nice it was. I've never been to a baseball game where it was just perfect, like, the temperature-wise. And, like, how could you not hit home runs? Nobody's sweating. Like, it was the weirdest thing. Have you been to, like, an air-conditioned, like, a stadium?
No.
It's freaking weird. There's a
couple
of them.
But I probably never...
There's a couple of them. I think Toronto has one, I think.
Yeah, I've been there.
I think that's in like a, there's like hotels. That's really weird. Yeah. Then a lot of times they'll catch guys like banging their chicks like on the windows and stuff during the game, because it's like literally the windows are right there in the stadium. Like you can like rent a room, which is pretty cool actually. Yeah. You can like rent a room and then like look out and watch the game. And there's always some guy banging his chick.
Toronto.
Bang a chick on the window during like seventh inning stretch.
Have a sign that Dustin said to do it.
Anyway, no, I always think you want to baseball. Like you're one of those baseball guys.
You know, I love baseball. I mean, I'm a Yankee fan.
Yeah,
that supports the Mets, which is weird. You don't get that.
You
in
should
your
support
class.
The Mets. Yeah, they need it right
from
now.
New York.
Really
the only team I'm not a fan of is the Nets, because they're from, they will always be from Jersey.
Yeah.
So, and I don't go to Brooklyn, so.
Yeah.
So we good.
No, that's cool. Yeah, but anyway, I was just really disappointed. I was really upset just because my poor Rangers have to play in the heat. And it really makes a difference to come, like, you know,
I'm
playoffs.
I'm just trying to get used to you without a cowboy hat on.
Oh, yeah, I'm wearing my merch today. Yeah. I'm switching up the hats a little bit. I'm going for some new looks. But, you know, that's the thing. It's like, I think it's like when I started wearing a cowboy hat, it was, the blue collar thing was huge. Like, right. It was all about the blue collar. Like, those guys were just gigantic, you know? And it was like, and then I was like, I'm from Texas. And it's like, I used to wear one and stuff. And then I was like, you know what? I'll just, like, see how this goes, you know? And then it was just, then it just became like, and then Judah Friedlander was, like, kind of a big mentor and stuff. And he had this look that he always wore.
Right.
Like, he had this thing where he was, like, the trucker hat with the world champion and all that. That came a little later. It used to just be trucker hat. But it was like, yeah, so I started wearing the cowboy hat. And it just kept wearing it, you know. It just became a look, and it was hard not to.
It's a good look.
It works usually. It's good. I'm certain. But at the same time, it's weird because it's like a lot of times some people come out to see me and they just assume I'm like, hey everybody,
and then
like I'll have like some real edgy shit to say or something, and they're like, whoa, hey.
But
you know,
I think
they
that
didn't
works.
See this coming,
especially like in a hood room.
Oh, you know, yeah, it's fun in a hood room.
Where you walk in
a
cowboy hat,
hood
like,
room
who
is
the
fun.
Hell?
This motherfucker. I love hood rooms. That's how I came up. Ozzy Baez, I don't know if you were part of that whole thing. Ozzy was a big part in my development as a comic.
Ozzy, wow.
Did you play those shows back in the day with like Seymour and all those guys?
Yeah.
New York Comedy Club,
the
midnight shows.
Yeah. the whole way.
The Urban Latino Night. Yeah. I'm sure you played a few of those in your day.
I felt comfortable in there because I used to live in a rail apartment. So.
Did you? Yeah, that was weird. They had that space right by the shoe shine thing or whatever, the shoe repair.
Yeah,
it was the smallest little space. And it was literally like you could almost touch the wall from the stage.
Yeah.
Like that's how much width was in there.
The exit was blocked off.
I had some good shows in there, though.
No, they were pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you hurt your neck because you were going left and right.
It's weird, you know. It's like you have two people in front of you.
Yeah.
And then like a thousand, like not a thousand, but like, you know, like about 50 on sides.
Yeah, 50. You're still being generous. About 26.
Yeah.
Was that your home club?
It wasn't.
Where'd you start?
I actually started at Comic Strip, doing bringer shows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That place has been around.
Yeah, I'm bringing shows. I got my start at a Caliente Cab. They had like an open mic one time. It was like 15 of us. We was hanging out drinking, and I just started. We started heckling, you know. And dude, like, you think you're funny? You should come up here. Like,
oh no!
So I went up there, and
it's great. It's a Patrice story. It's the same.
Yeah, I went up there, and then my friends. There was no way I was gonna lose because all my friends were there.
Mm.
So anything I said was funny. You know?
Yeah.
So then I went to the comic shop. I tried to find some stuff out. I was like, okay, cool. I'm gonna go over here and figure it out. They told me, oh, you gotta bring five people, whatever, to perform.
Yeah.
So I was like, cool, we can do this. And then next, you know, I was bringing 15. 20.
Okay.
So I was always funny.
I got you.
And then about the eighth show, she's like, you know, you don't have to bring anyone anymore. You can just come. Because you've been bringing a lot of people, and I'm like, oh, I'm a professional. I don't got to bring nobody. I bombed so bad. It was great. It was funny because, like, the way they sat the room, they had maybe, like seven people on one side, and they had, like, this one dude on the right. And that dude didn't find me funny. And I was like, fuck you, man. I'll punch you in the face. Like, that was my go-to.
Get all aggressive.
I'll punch you in my face. Yeah. And she was like, well, no, you won't. Okay, give it a caretaker. And I was like, so I didn't do it for like about 2-3 weeks. And then I was like, no, I got to go back. I was like, I'm not going out like that. And then my first joke I wrote was about bus drivers. Because back in the day, like, bus drivers were fat. They would, they would know, like, these, you know, in shape, batting glove, punching girls in the face, bus drivers. It was, you know, all fat. So I was like, you can tell it was a bus driver on the beach because they all had a scar on their stomach from the steering wheel. Because the steering wheel was so big. So that was, like, my first joke and that I actually wrote. And other before that, it was just, like, literally just picking on people.
Yeah, well, you're good with the crowd. That, you know, what's one thing I like about you is, you know, it's funny, and I don't really care how you take this because it's all come from love, but it's like, you know, it's like when you just never see somebody and you have in your head what kind of comic it's going to be,
right?
And then when you see them do comedy, you're like, oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't know, you know what I mean? Right. I hadn't seen you. I'd seen you, like, you know, the Urban Latino thing, the radio, and I'd seen you at clubs here and there, but I'd never seen you on stage. And then I saw you at LOL one night, and I was like, this guy's funny, man. He's tight. Right. And I appreciated it because you were like, yeah, you had tight jokes, but you were also really good with the crowd.
Right. The thing, I don't pick on the audience. I don't.
I say good with the crowd.
Right, right.
I don't use the word pick.
No, most people think that
pick. No.
I have a big belief that you have to prove to the audience that you're funny first.
Yeah.
Before you can say anything.
Yeah.
Because then, like, the person's going to think that, okay, he's just trying to pick me to try to get the laughs out. I said, no, I'm let you know that I can make you laugh before, you know, we get to that level. You know what I mean? And I'll ask you a question and I'll go from there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I won't go, hey, look at your cowboy hat. You know what I mean? Like, I won't do that, you know, so.
You might.
Yeah, I probably. If you're on a roll, you know. But that's not my intention. You know, I just...
I don't like the word pick. I think it's more like improv and, like, in the moment and connect, you know? Because I think it's like, you know, it's a live experience. So sometimes you got to bring them in.
But you can go in too hard sometimes. You can just, like, stay on that.
You're good.
One
you have a good balance. Like, first of all, you're likable. Like, you have a good likability. Some guys are assholes, shouldn't be doing crowd work.
Right.
You're a nice guy. Like, you know, and it's like... But if you're not a nice guy, and then you try to, like, come at the audience hard, it's sometimes I see that happen. It just goes a long time.
Funny story. I called... I was on stage one time, and there was these three black girls, and...
Yeah, hold on a second. Let's get this one. I don't miss these moments. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
There were these three black girls, and they was talking. They was, you know, three black girls. and then they was just talking throughout the show, and I was she said something, and I was like, bitch, please.
Oh.
I'm like, bitch, you crazy, right? Uh-oh. So we laughed. Everybody laughed. They laughed or whatever. The following comic... like, shut up, bitch. And she threw a water bottle at him.
Oh, you know, shit.
Actually threw, like, two water bottles at him. And then after the show, he's like, yo, but you said bitch. I was like, yeah, I said it different. You know what I mean? Like, you were like, bitch. I was like, bitch, please. It's a big, you know what I mean? It's just how you word it sometimes, you know? So that was crazy. It was like, so sometimes I tell comics, don't ever do... Like, stick to do what you do.
Don't do what
the guy ahead of you does, even if he kills or whatever. Still do you. Like, don't worry about it. And that's what happens. Sometimes I see you going in and out the audience.
Yeah.
And then go, oh, I got to do that. And then, but you're not good at that.
Yeah.
So don't do it.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, I heard some stuff happen recently over there.
It's like, I was. It's on video. I was like, wow, it's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, see, you know, comedy's, it's Thunderdome sometimes, you know, you don't know what you're going to get, you know, you're just like, people, you know, it's one of the rare art forms where it's like, you know, people pretty much think they have to be drunk to enjoy it.
Right.
It's one of those, like, it's ingrained in them to, like, get drunk before the show, get drunk during the show. Like,
but here's the problem, sometimes the host sets that up. You know, the more you drink, the funnier we are. Like, you know, like, you're setting it up. You know, and then when it happens, you can't get upset about it. You set it up. You know?
Exactly.
So it's, you know.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, you know, like I say, sometimes a drunk person will say something.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be funny. You know, just enjoy it. Hey, that was funny.
Oh, absolutely.
And keep it going. Don't try to over. Then they're going to want to talk more.
I'll let an audience have their moments for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because they can be funny. They're just like us. They're regular people. Right. You know what I mean? They're funny, too. We were kind of like them before we, you know, dedicated our lives. Yeah.
That's how I got started.
Exactly. We're not all that good, but, you know, I think it's, it's just a weird element.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you have to know how to just deal with it and flow with the whole situation.
Right, right.
And so you've been doing a lot of cool stuff, and, you know, you've worked with everybody, you know. You've done a lot of, you know, toured a lot around and done a bunch of stuff, and, you know, it's just like, you know, you always, I remember you had a, somebody told me, I remember one time, I just thought it was the craziest thing. Somebody goes, yeah, yo, Kenny Ortega, he got a cologne. I was like, what?
Nah, it's a fragrance. Not a cologne, my friend, a fragrance. Tell you the story. You want to hear the story about how this became?
Yes.
It's a very funny story.
Kenny Ortega in the building. All right, tell us the story. Yeah. What do you got?
So here's the thing. We used to do radio at Urban Latino Radio, PNC Radio.
Yes.
And the room was a small room with a big window that didn't open, right?
Yeah.
So I had the first show of the day.
Okay.
Meaning that whoever had the show after, overnight, used to spill alcohol on the ground, on the carpet and whatever. So I would come into this, like, closed room smelling like straight locker room. Like it smelled like shit, pretty much.
Sure.
So we started lighting incense and candles and scented candles, spraying. And then one time, my show was called 1 to 4, which means 1 to 4 in Spanglish, right? So my guests would come in. When I had the female guests, they would come in. And they were like, oh, what's that smell? It smells great in here. I was like, that's that 1 to 4. And then it caught on. And I was like, I'm a research this right here. So I went to this fragrance store on 104th Street and Lexington Avenue in Manhattan, and I told the guy, I was like, hey, listen, you pretty much, like, they have the oils, and they kind of duplicate whatever is out there now. Like, if they have Kim Kardashian, they'll do the same thing.
Yeah.
So I said, how can I create something for me, you know, where I can make it a fragrance? Oh, you just got to, they have the alcohol. It's not regular alcohol, but it's like an alcohol that they put, kind of mix it up to create it into, you can make it a cologne depending on how much alcohol you put in it, or, you know, fragrance or whatever. So I was like, cool. So he created one for me. So it took about 11 months before I finally got what we wanted to smell like. Mm-hmm. And we created it. It's a 1 to 4, the fragrance for women. And we sold a lot of fucking fragrances, and we sold out to this one lady, this girl from Urban Latino Radio that worked there. She was doing publicist for this event, and she was wearing the fragrance at Empanada Mama's Empanada spot. Yeah. And the lady was like, "What's that smell? It smells awesome." She tracked her down, and she was like, "What's that smell?" She started telling her about it.
Oh wow!
So she gave her my email, and she emailed me, and she bought 10 bottles, and she got them shipped to London.
Oh my gosh!
Which over there, I guess they have a docking fee as well. So not only did she pay the $35 per bottle, but then she had to pay the docking fee. So it was like. So then she sent me a picture and everything. I have, it was cool. I still have it. Yeah, it's dope. You know.
Are you still pursuing the fragrance?
It is. It was more about the brand at the time. You know, but it's tough. It did, like, you know, even that's why J-Lo has like 13 fragrances, you know?
Because
this doesn't really, like, you have to, it's a tough one.
It's fickle. Like, people like something once for a little while, and then it's like,
it's good to have to have the reaction you had.
Yeah.
What? You have a what? You know, you're like, and then you move on. You know what I mean? Just say, like, you have what?
No, I just thought it was so great. I just, because it's like, you know, comics always have a t-shirt, or they have a, you know, you don't sell it. I thought, because I just thought you're like selling it at shows. Well, I had
t-shirts. Actually, I got hit up on Facebook recently because I put up a post, and this girl liked it. She showed me a t-shirt that she still had.
Okay.
And it said, please don't let me fart.
Oh, okay.
Which is part of a yoga joke that I say.
Okay.
And she still had it. So I saw, that was like the only t-shirt I would sell at the time. Okay. But I'm not a big, like, CD and seller at the event. Like, I think, especially, like, in some of the events that we play.
Yeah.
If I feel like, okay, you already got jerked you know, you already got like a bad experience on how you got here.
Yeah.
I feel like if I'm gonna load this off of you, it's like I feel like I'm robbing you. You know what I mean? It depends on the band.
Yeah. It
depends.
It does. Yeah. And I'm also gun shy too. It's like it depends. It's gotta be like a great set, or I feel like a dick out there, just like, hey, I did okay. You want to buy a thing?
You know. But you also have like that dude, that comic, that be like right next to you, like $10 DVD, yo.
Yeah.
$10,
yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not trying to sell my $10. One time a guy was like, why is this 10? Yours is 20. I was like, I don't know. You figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, I have my value to my stuff. You know, I'm not going to.
Yeah. I don't know. I believe in that thing where it's just like, you know, like it's the headliner or whatever. Like, I usually respect that. Let them sell stuff. Like, they earned it. You know what I mean? Even though your money's shorter, your money's not as much or whatever, I still feel, I don't know, that conversation should be had, maybe.
Yeah, I usually, like, if I'm featuring, I usually give them a card. I'm like, hey, just email me, and I'll send you something, you know.
Yeah.
That usually doesn't happen, but it's just a good opening conversation.
Yeah, just a good respect, I think. Who have you worked with? Like, any big guys on the road and stuff?
Okay, yeah.
Who have you worked with? That you enjoyed working with?
Okay.
Let's go big and enjoyed first.
Here's the problem. I've never gotten the speech from a headliner where, hey, don't do this, don't do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, when you get off stage, you get the, hey, you should have headlined, you know.
And
I try to explain
it's
to them, like,
it's tough, I always hate
I'm not doing checks. I got a clean 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like,
I
can do whatever. This guy, you know, he has to do those plus the checks and then get you back. Like, it's it's a whole process.
That's so, like, cool. You respect that.
I have a clean, you know, non-disturbed, you know, 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But, I've always, I'm going to tell you who I worked with. Calgrim's
former,
great dude. He didn't have a good time.
Okay.
Not because of me.
Yeah.
Because the venue that we played at, there was a fan, like an air conditioner, right above the stage.
Okay.
You couldn't hear it. The audience couldn't hear it. You could, but the audience couldn't.
Okay.
So it was you ever seen the what was the movie with Gene Hackman and the clock hit, it was Russell Crowe, Gene Hackman. Like, the clock would make a noise before it hit the 12.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It was like a Western, I think.
Yeah. So
310 to Yuma.
No, not that one. But
I was like that
one. Yeah, he was actually.
Oh, no. It was with Leonardo DiCaprio. Quick draw.
Yes. Quick draw. Okay. Yeah. So the AC would do that. He would. And then. Right? So I was like, dude, it's like the movie. Like, I'm trying to explain to him. Like, it's the movie. Like, I can't. And then you hear it. Like, you hear the click first before the thing comes. But for some reason, like, the whole weekend, he had it in his head, like, this fucking AC. So he would be doing his thing and then just go left when the AC would go on, because he would be like, hey, this is great. This is a good joke. Fucking AC. This way. And then just go into about the AC. And the audience is like, what AC? We don't hear nothing. And I'm like, I'm in the back, like, he did it again. And then he offered me a ride home, and I was like, "No, I'm good. I gotta meet up some people, you know."
Because you know, you just hear about that AC for an hour.
Yeah. I was like, it's an awkward. I was an awkward ride because I had a good set because I knew about.
Because you weren't like,
I had the movie in my, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready. I'm not even worrying about it. But he just couldn't let it go. Like, it wasn't like his college was great.
Yeah.
But if the AC just got him, you
broke
know, it. Yeah, it just got him. And I was like, oh, he was with his wife and his kids, and then he's like, "You want to ride?" I'm like, "Nah, I'm good. I'm good." The ride was great. I'm like, "Well, I'm good. I take the bus. I take a 5-hour ride."
But that is funny. Weird. Sometimes I'll be on stage and I'll make jokes, like you'll hear, like, you know, ice crinkling. That sometimes I'll make reference to things. You know what I mean?
I always say, "Yo, put it down. It's done. You know?
Yeah,
get another one." Yeah. Like, give the ice some time to melt, you know?
Let me slurping up the straws. There's little noises and things that, like, you know, it's like they're kind of unnecessary, you got to deal with, you know? But you can't let it get in your head, you know? You go crazy.
Yeah. I also worked with Joe Matarise. Joe Matarise. Man. This was a new one.
Oh, I love it. I'm ready for this one.
Joe.
I know Joe well, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Joe. I'm gonna tell you about even a better one after. Okay. But Joe wasn't doing well after either, whatever. Because was, you know, I was doing what I do and stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to follow you. So it's funny, likable, man. Fuck that.
the host was not great.
Mm.
So Joe was like, "Hey, can you do 5 minutes before you bring me up?" Because after me, whatever, he wanted to kind of like cool down, whatever. Again, it was in like it's in his head because he did well. As far as I'm like, "Yo, dude," but I sound like a dick now because I'm like, "No, you did all right. You did cool. you did well." But I come off like you know, like you trip, like, "Oh, it's gonna be everybody trips, everybody." You know? But he was like, "Tell the whole, can you do nothing? Just bring him down a little bit, bring him down." But here's nothing. I featured for this guy named, I'm going to throw his name out there. Yeah. Jack Knight.
Jack, I don't know.
Young guy.
Okay.
He signed with William Simona. Or whatever. Oh, William. Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay.
So he's headlining. He's headlining at this, at a comics in Mohegan Sun.
Okay.
And,
nice room.
Yeah. So Thursday he comes in and he's like, he panics because when you first walk in, there's like a whole stage and there's a bull riding arena. whole place. It's a lot to take. Yeah. And he was like, "Is that where the show's happening?" I was like, no, it's in here.
Yeah.
He's like, "Whoa." Like he already, like, the room already broke him. You know,
yeah.
He walked in and the room just punched him right in the face. And then like, I was like, "No, it's in here." He's like, "All right, cool. So, you know, he was just giving them. He was giving them the black stuff, and I'm like, "Dude, you gotta know your audience. You got a bunch of old white folks from Connecticut in here. These are slot players. You know, these are not they're not sitting down playing blackjack. They you know, with the cigarette. You know, so he doesn't have a good time on Thursday. So Friday he comes, and I do my thing or whatever, and it's the host hosting, and he tells the host, "Oh man, I hate when the comics go over the light." And he's like, "No, he has to do 25. He's at 19 right now."
Yeah.
He was referring to me. I'm like, "Dude, if you're not having a good time, don't blame me."
Yeah, don't.
So he gets off like 10 minutes early.
Yeah, yeah.
So the host is like, "Oh, whatever." So, and he leaves.
Yeah.
So now this was Friday. Saturday, first show. Same thing. He leaves 10 minutes early. So now they're like, "Oh, wait a minute. Is he coming back?" They don't know if he come back. So he's like, "Hey, prepare to do 50. And everybody's time got pushed up. So then now he comes back in the room. So he's like, "Okay, cool." Everybody goes back to hometown, whatever. He's at 11 minutes. Nothing. Like, I mean, crickets. Wow. Nothing. And he's shitting on Connecticut. The whole state, you know. He's picking on the room. He's talking to me. It was so quiet that this lady said, and it seemed like she was yelling, but she wasn't. That's how quiet it was.
Yeah.
She goes, "Listen, if you don't want to be here, you could just leave."
Yeah.
He took one drink of his water, put it down, and he walked away.
Oh,
with
my
35
God.
Minutes left in his set.
There's no way he got paid for it.
So I'm like, "You want me to go back up?" You know? And the guy was like, "Can you?" I was like, "Yeah." So I go back up, and I get on with this joke. I was like, "Man, I was halfway to fucking Bobby Flay's burger, and he called me back. Now I gotta entertain you for 35 more minutes, and I'm hungry." So it's like I got done with that, and then we had a good time, whatever. So the guy was like, and surprisingly, only one couple asked for a refund.
Okay.
Out of the whole room. That's and, great. And here's the shitty part. It was the black and Latina couple. And I was like, really? Out of everybody in the room. My people? You want your money back?
You really? Fuck, yeah. Can't make me look good, motherfucker?
Yeah, you know what I mean? So like, and they were like, you were great. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I want my money back. Like, come on. We find any excuse for that money back. Yeah. So, yeah. So, it's tough. Chris Stefano, I had a great time with him. You know, because he does what he does, you know. But I've worked with him before, so it was cool. Sean Patton.
That's cool.
Carlos Mencia worked with him, whatever, despite the situations he went through.
He does a great yoga farting joke now.
I'm sure I hear it somewhere. he sells T-shirts. So. he's a cool guy. Actually, he's a cool
dude. No, I'm playing. He's great. He fucking sells out. He's great.
Hey, listen, I'm not stopping no one. Listen, you made your bet. You got to lie in it. You know what I'm saying? I've seen people take jokes in a lesser form. In
time. Absolutely.
I'm like, what? Did you say that?
Yeah.
you know who said that?
No, it's funny, like, getting back up on stage, though. I did this weekend. I had a thing where I was open for TJ, and he got sick. Like, we went to the seafood place, and, you know, people just, like, gorge him with stuff. You know, when you're a celebrity stuff, they're always like, you know, here, have free food. We had, like, they just gave all the shrimp and crab stuff. And then we did the shows. And I was on stage, and then I went to bring him up, and there was, like, no TJ Miller. And the crowd's, like, crazy, like, where's, you know, they're like, where's TJ? And so they just keep playing the music. And then finally he gets up there. And he gets up, and he's just not right yet. You know, he's got food poisoning, and so he goes light. He probably does, you know, like 40 or something, and they're expecting an hour and 10. And it was just like, and then everybody's flipping out, and I'm just like, you know, and you're in a weird spot because with him, he's so good to me. He's such a great comic, and I have such respect. Right. And so I don't want to, like, make it like, you know, I'm going to go up and do time. He's going to get pissed.
Right.
You know, like, I'm disrespecting his moment. They hit us in him, not me. So I'm just like, eh. So it was kind of one of those things where I just kind of, like, made it. I tried to make it like I accidentally started just doing material.
Right.
Because
you know,
I did, like,
he became a black comic.
I did like the raffle, and then I go, oh, it sounds like a stripper name. I dated a stripper, you know, like that kind of stuff. And then you're just like, oh, hey, like I'm just, you know, and I just happened to be that annoying MC. You know, and it worked out. And then he came back up with like a ventriloquist puppet at the end. He felt better. He has this crazy bit with a puppet thing. And so it was like, he just kind of showed up on stage. I was like, hey, and then it worked out. And like, cause they got to see him at the end and stuff. But that's the thing with comedy. Have you ever gotten off early and had to go back on? I did that before. Where it's like I fucked up on the light and like I just got off way too early. And then they pushed me back up on stage.
I've never gotten off early.
Yeah, I got late on accident.
Late, I've gotten off late.
It was an accident. Like somebody was looking at their phone, and I thought that was one of those things where I thought it was the light, and so I was like, okay, and I just jumped off. I don't know, for some reason.
That's like a new comic when a comic is bombing, and he knows that the waitress is like little iPad or whatever.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I thought you lit me. No. we hold the phone up here, buddy.
That was
waist high, you know. Like, oh, I thought you lit me.
No, hey, I was killing, by the way. I just want to make the story right. I was destroying, and then. that's what's great about this business. You don't know what, you know. Even like the bad things end up being some sort of like rich experience, you know, you can't get from anything else in the world, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
Like, I peed on stage one time.
You peed on stage?
Yeah.
Oh, like you were just like you had to pee.
I had a catheter, they had a little valve, and my jeans. I was hosting a contest.
Oh.
And it hit the valve, and so that allowed me to, you know, it just like a leakage started coming out. And so I had to kind of like stand a certain way.
Oh, the audience didn't catch it?
No, because the light was on me, so when I stood a certain way, it looked like a shadow. Okay. On my leg. Yeah, I mean, it's gotcha. Kind of weird, so that happened. Yeah, that happened. Yes.
Do you have to wear that thing now, or
was that just no? That was just the moment. Okay. I don't have it on now. I mean, like, I'm doing a podcast. Let me go put on my gadgets. I don't want to get up to use the restroom. No, that was the
You were healthy. You were in the hospital a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was. I try to tell people like the comedy takes a toll, man. Sometimes.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
When you. Like, you get these young guys, like, no, I got to hit the stage. I'm like, you might want to take a day off. You don't think? Relax.
You getting better? You taking care of
yourself? No, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, yeah. I'm good now. Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm good.
I've seen him cigars, man.
Yeah. Get back up. Well, I don't smoke as much as I used to.
Take care of yourself.
No, I don't smoke as much as I used to. I do one or two.
Okay. Moderation. Yeah.
On my day off, I'll take one and I'll kind of just enjoy it for a good hour or so.
Just like, once in a while.
Yeah. So,
I think that's the key, too.
But I used to do like two or three a day.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
But
did they get you eating different now? Or are you like...
I've never eaten bad. Okay. It's just, it's the time of like at night. I had a stomach virus for the last 2 days, and that's a key word, code word for diarrhea. yeah, if you're dumping right now, you was pissing. I had to, I ate something and then it just like messed my stomach up completely. I was like, what the fuck?
It's amazing how I can't go to a baseball game and not eat a hot dog. Like, it's just like sacrilegious for me not to do that.
You can't eat
a hot dog. I can't not eat one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, I have to eat a hot dog.
Well, yeah.
I just can't, like, the hot dog's, it's a horrible thing to eat, but it's like, if I'm in a freaking baseball game, that's one. There's other choices.
Right.
There's healthier choices.
Well, that's it.
But it's just, like, it's so ingrained in me to just eat a hot dog.
It's funny, because now in baseball games, they have, like, I tell another comedian, Jenny Saldana, hold on. We go to games sometimes, and they sit all on top. I'm like, I'm gonna head down to, and then I'm like, and she's like, oh, where did you get that lobster roll from? Like, oh, by the way, the lower you go, the better the food.
Oh yeah,
yeah. If you're sitting on top, you're gonna get a cold hot dog, stale bread. Yeah. I mean, if you go down, it's like a fresh hot dog, warm bun. You know what I mean? It's a whole different experience
down there. Sure.
Yeah. But definitely got a hot dog,
Sorry, I'm going to derail us with hot dogs.
But now you're talking about the hot dog. The Hartford Yard Goats, it's a minor league club.
Okay.
And they're changing the song of Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Yeah.
Because they're eliminating peanuts.
Oh, because of the allergies.
Right.
Oh.
They changed the whole song.
Such a pussy country, man.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
If a peanut takes you out, man, seriously, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, come on. It's like, how many times I've almost died in my life because of just shady parents and ridiculous shit.
Hey, I almost died three times this past year. So. It's
like, but yeah, what a peanut.
Yeah, well, I ate peanuts after. Like, you almost died when you eat peanuts. Like, these are good.
I want to hear more crazy road gigs. Do you have any other hell gig stories and stuff?
Oh, man. Listen,
you got any, like, crazy, ridiculous?
I do, actually.
Let me hear some of these. I love these.
we went out to a crazy road gig. All
right, what do you got?
Okay, so I had two gigs. I forgot about one. I had a gig in Washington, D.C. I was performing for a cigar event.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, well, I'm getting amped up for this cigar event. And I'm like, oh, shit, I got a gig in Connecticut. So we drove to Connecticut. From Connecticut, we drove all the way to D.C.
Oh, wow.
But on the way to D.C., on the road, we hit a bucket. There was a bucket on the highway.
On the highway, just random bucket.
What the fuck is a bucket?
Just in the middle of the highway.
So it's like, can't go nowhere, so we have to hit it. So we hit it, caught a flat. So now we got this like just cheap little Honda jack that you gotta put together.
Yeah.
So it takes us about 6 hours to change the tire. Right? Because we're looking for a place first. I got 20-inch rims. I don't know if you guys know about rims, but if you have 20-inch rims, the tires are very like small. It's horrible. Like, it's all about looks instead of comfort. So we go to this truck stop. The guy doesn't allow us. So we like, yo, can we pay you? Whatever. So that didn't work out. So finally, we get to our destination. So we get to our destination, and we there, and we meet these two chicks. The ugliest two chicks you will ever, like, see in your life. And black. Like, what,
bitch, please.
Yeah, bitch, please. Oprah Winfrey in Color Purple.
Oh, ooh, all right.
That kind of, like.
Next level.
Yeah. All
right.
We hit it, though. We hit it because it was weird because we went to their room, yeah, and they left us in the room. Like, they're all, we're going to be back. We're going to store. So I'm looking at my man, and he's looking at me, and I'm like, yo, they're going to rob us. You know, like, like, we start coming, we're going to rob us. Like, so, but then he looks at me, and he's like, so which one are you going to hit? I'm like, are you serious? Like, yo, we're about to get robbed. You try to see who's going to hit it. But, yeah, we did it. We went in on some two ugly.
Wow.
Like, when I say, like, ugly, I'm being nice. You know? Like, so,
so that was a gig. The gig was,
yeah, the gig was horrible. The gig was hard. The gig, it was six people. Like, three of them were Crips. So it's like, you have to watch what you say.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't do my thing going in the audience. So I was like, if I say, hey, you know, and then I
get shot off.
Yeah.
Can,
you
wear
mean?
Red hat.
Yeah. I didn't have red hat. I had a Yankee hat on. I figured Yankee hats are always, like, you know, conversational, real cool, neutral piece. But yeah, so it was, the show was horrible. And then to top it off, at the end of the night, I got hit with the, hey, let me holler at you for a second.
Uh-oh.
You know what that means? Your money's short.
Yeah.
Anytime a promoter tells you, hey, let me holler at you for a second, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's like the other day on Facebook, I was someone put up a post of a comedian, say, hey, what was your worst experience with a promoter?
Yeah.
So now you have these promoters that were once promoters are now comedians,
yeah,
comics, and they going in like, yeah, this point. And I'm like, yo, it's amazing how there are people on here bitching about promoters,
yeah,
who did the same thing, but who are now comics who did the same thing to comedians. Like,
oh, yeah.
There's a couple of places where I respect where the place has gotten to, but I don't like the way, like some places that become comedy clubs.
Yeah.
Whatever, like the back room of a bar or whatever, and they become comedy clubs. And they become comedy clubs because the comics who took the time out to make that happen.
Yeah.
Did it because they wasn't getting spots, or they wasn't happy about not getting paid.
Yeah.
So now you become this guy.
Sure.
And guess what you do? You become the guy that made you start a club.
Exactly.
Now you don't pay people.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, what the fuck?
Now you're like, ignoring people.
Yeah, you're that guy. You're that guy. And I'm like, is that
happening right now?
Yeah.
It's like, because you and I are on both sides of the fence a little bit with comedy.
Yeah.
And so it's like, we do it full time, but we also run stuff and, you know, book things. And so, yeah, that's a rough, I wouldn't put that on anybody, because it's like you're constantly trying to separate the two lives.
Yeah.
You know, you're constantly trying to be like, you know, and it's like, and the thing is like, you assume people are going to, like, understand there's not, like, right when I get off stage and I killed and I'm fucking having a good, like, that's not the time to hit me up for spots.
Yeah.
That's not the time to be, or right before I'm about to go on.
Oh, dude, I've defended you so many times.
I appreciate it.
I've defended you.
I appreciate it.
I've defended the book of comics so many times. Yeah. That guy's an asshole. I was like, nah, you don't understand how it is. Like, trust me, man, it's different. Like, I just recently, I made the finals for the HBO Latino.
Great, very cool.
So that's on the 16th coming up.
That's great.
And everybody's like, hey.
Is that the thing Gina's doing?
Yes, that's for that. So everybody's like, hey, congratulations. Man, I think, you know, you can do this, whatever.
Yeah.
And here's the post. Out of like a pin in a haystack, right? A needle in a haystack, just out of nowhere. hey, remember I met you at comics and
it's on the post.
It's on the post.
Oh,
it's on
congratulating the, you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah.
Like someone found the time to go, excuse me. Hey, remember me? I'm a comedian. You said that you could possibly give me some spots. Like, are you serious? Like, do you not read the post? Like, everybody's like, thank you. Congratulations. You got this. And you're like, what about my spots?
Oh, it's unreal.
I'm like, listen. Dude, and then
just come out of there out of nowhere.
The owner of the club, Yonkers Comedy Club, which I book, he made business cards for me.
Yeah.
And they have my number on it. Oh, I was like, dude, I'm not giving those out. Are
yeah.
You crazy?
Yeah, you can't
it's
do that.
Bad enough. Like, it's like I get an email from a person like, you know, and I get it. You know, sometimes you have to cancel for whatever reason. So the route that you have is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, listen, I don't want to hear, you know, that you broke your leg and you're not going to be able to just, can you do it or you can't?
Yeah. Oh, you sent that email, yeah.
Yeah. I
don't need an excuse.
I love that.
I don't need
like,
an excuse.
Because you guys are saying, like, okay, what did I say that before? Like,
yeah, I don't care. I get it. I don't care. It's like, even if you just don't want to do the gig, I get it. You want to hang out with your lady. I get it. I don't really care.
Yeah, no.
Just excuses, yeah. It's like, I don't even know how it happened, man. I just ended up just kind of doing that and being good at it. That's the thing, too. It's a lot of people, because I feel like, if you're pretty good at comedy, then you can be pretty good at this as well and, like, make comedy a little bit better on both ends.
Right.
Because it's, like, a lot of people that run shows don't know anything about comedy. They never grabbed a mic. They don't know what their audience wants. They don't book the comics that their audiences want to see. You know? It's, like, a lot of these rooms now, it's just, like, there's a lot of stuff that's happening in New York.
Right.
And it's, like, they're tourists and stuff, and they've got these, like, Brooklyn comics. They don't want that. They don't want that. They want comics that are going to pump up the room and play around and like relate to them and not be all this, you know, alternative shit.
Right.
So it's weird, man.
But like, hey, my nigga, you chill. I'm like, what? They're from Ohio. They're like,
I'd rather have that than like just like some kid just talking to himself that has no, you know what I mean?
True.
I'd rather see that guy.
Yeah.
That guy would probably make the white people laugh because they're out of guilt, you know. I'd rather have the black guy fish out of water than the stupid white kid with the glasses and the little haircut, you know.
No, it's tough, man. It's
beard.
Tough. I don't know how you became the booker, but I was like, it kind of happened for me.
Yeah.
Because the club was another club.
Okay.
And then that club was shitty. It wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't paying people. It was like literally can't like book you for a weekend and cancel you last minute.
Yeah.
So when that, I like to say regime.
Yeah.
They got rid of that. That's when I came aboard.
Okay.
Because I was like, I was friends with the other guy, even though I didn't respect his business ways.
Mm-hmm.
He was still a friend, you know? So I was like, I can't be involved unless he's like totally out. So then he was out, whatever, and I came in. So then it became a whole explanation. Like,
I
had to tell a story before I, but hey, Dustin, you want to do this show?
Yeah.
By the way, this club was that, and it's not that anymore.
Yeah.
know, this is what it is.
There's a lot of, like, yeah.
Literally paid a comedian out my pocket when I started bringing in comedians up out my pocket just so he knows that we pay.
Yeah.
And then I had to check it was being written out to me, you know?
Yeah.
So just so they know, it's like, okay, here it is. This is what happened.
Sure.
And I try to pay, you know, everyone because it's where it is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm excited. I'm there this Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Your birthday?
Birthday and weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun.
How young are you?
I'm not telling nobody. We don't do that.
Yeah,
old as fuck. I'm almost 50, but I'm not.
Well, hey, listen. You ready?
Somewhere in the ballpark. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna be 50 in December.
Oh, we're the same age.
So there you go. You know what I mean? So 49. Don't feel bad about it.
It's tough to say.
I don't know about you, but as a Latino, I'm over the statistic.
Yeah.
Oh, we usually die at 43, 44. You know what I mean? Now these days. So I'm way ahead of the game now. You know.
Yeah. Back to the how I became involved. I think I ran really good bar shows.
Right.
And I had really talented friends that became kind of successful. And so I think it's like my bar shows were kick-ass. And so then the club started kind of like taking notice. And that's when Al Martin and guys like that, and we're just like, hey, yeah, it's like, you know, you're good at running the village. Because then I ran Boston for the last 2 years, right. Boston Comic Club. So it's like, I kind of had that, that would be my pedigree.
I feel like you didn't like anyone at that point, at Boston.
No, I was a drunk.
You didn't really like
I was drunk as fuck.
I worked with...
I was so drunk back then.
George Diaz.
Well, that show was kind of a hijack.
And
George was a lot. Until you get to know George.
Until he gives
you his blessing.
Well, here's
it's
the
like,
thing.
He's a lot.
Here's the thing about that. And I think this used, this used to piss you off.
You know me way back.
Walk by with the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Just to give you a look like. And I'm like, all right, man. Like I didn't know what you was.
Yeah.
I knew you had to do with the club, but
nobody knew what was up.
Like, was he the owner? Was he the who the fuck is this guy walking around with a cowboy hat, staring at people like he's about to like just whisk like. You know, just. So this was what happens because and George, I love George. I love George.
I love George.
George
too.
Is a storyteller.
He's out of his mind, but I love him.
And so George would have like, hey, we here because we talent. You had a show there, and it was YouTube pack like a black show.
Yeah.
And it stopped happening.
Yeah.
But they didn't put that press release out, right? So here you got George comes with the Latino show.
Yeah.
And you like the Latino show. And you got about 50 black people in there, right?
Yeah.
Because they have no idea that the show's not happening.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, we sold out. And I'm like, dude, they ain't here for us. they're here for the other show. The show's not happening anymore. So, yes. Yeah. And I think a lot of it was like you would get pissed at that, whatever. And it's like, you would see like these Puerto Ricans come in, and you're like, what the fuck's. Oh, you fucking Puerto Ricans. I was like, yeah, that guy doesn't like nobody. It's
crazy. Now, you know what it was? It's like, I think it was, well, first of all, like, you know, I got in there to fix it, you know, because of, like, towards the end, it was, like, there was some shady shit happening, people stealing money and shit and all kinds of crazy shit. So, yeah, even on that show, the Sunday show, there was, like, some crazy shit going on with that show. So I think it was, like, I had a very high bar for comedy, and I felt like that show was half and half. Right. It was some good comics, some vets. And then some guys a little new, you know?
Well, right. on the...
On George's show.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
So...
And then you had George that would be like, hey, the 2-hour show, it would be a 4-hour show.
And
then
he would keep going and talking and like... And he hadn't quite done the grind, you know?
Yeah.
So, so there was a lot going on, you know? And I was drunk all the time, so... between the two elements. And like, there'd be like you and Imagine. There'd be people that could hold their own, and then there'd just be some guys like, "Who? How'd you get on stage?" You know,
right.
So it was like a combination of that stuff. So I was grumpy back then, but I've gotten better.
Yeah.
It's like how it is. Sometimes you go through. You know, you just
some people
mad
think
at
I'm
everything.
Not approachable, so that works for me.
Yeah, work. I got better. A lot of therapy.
Yeah.
Got off the sauce. I'm good.
You get to know me, then you realize I'm not an asshole. But
yeah, but that's life, you know.
It's but like you can think that about me if you want.
Yeah,
it helps. It works for me.
Very cool. So very excited about the Latino thing. I hope that works out with HBO.
Yeah, man. I mean, if it doesn't happen, I mean, I still think I'm going to get a contact out of it.
Absolutely.
I think I have something.
Who else are they picking? You know what you're doing.
Well, they have Mark Fierro on there. But here's my thing. And this is going to come out probably after. So it's pretty cool. there's a couple of comics out there where I there's one comic. He stays on the topic too long.
I got you.
Mark probably will talk about his wife too long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have a set, but for some reason, it just... Like, I can go on stage and talk about the motorcycle that backfired on Times Square and everybody was running.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't not even know I didn't work on that bit.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's just me talking.
You're loose.
I think comedy is like that. You have your set.
Sure.
But then if you can just talk about something and just make it happen.
Well, you're also a certain, and I mean this in most respectful way, but you're a very specific demographic of Latino. Like, you're, I mean, you're the guys that...
Where you going with this, Willis? Oh, where you going with this, Willis?
No, but you are. You're New York. Right, the baseball cap, the thing. You know what I'm talking about. It's just is what it is, you know?
I'm not from the Bronx.
No.
Can we just make that official?
Yeah, but you got some relatives that were Kings at some point. So it's like you're part of this culture that is New York, You're part of this you know, this backdrop of New York. And it's just like, you're the guys I see all the time, you know?
Well, I started comedy when I was 30, so...
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, so...
That's late. So, holy shit. I didn't know that.
Right, so... I mean, I feel like really started, you know, like
in yeah.
So that's I think that has a lot to do with it, because you coming in with knowledge of life.
Absolutely.
You know, you're just not saying, "Hey, I robbed the bank once," and you're 12. You know what I mean? Like, no, you didn't. You know, you're making it up. You heard, you know?
Your political views and
I don't do political stuff. I think that I don't do religious stuff. I might do like a joke where I say, "Hey, I respect Mexicans, you know, and I'm against the wall. Every time I see a brick, I hide it." You know what I mean, like that. That's like as far as I'll go with something. You know,
I feel like I'll dance with it depending on what crowd. The crowd, I will play it and see how the crowd.
I'm not against it. I'm just saying it doesn't work.
No,
me.
Absolutely.
You know, it doesn't work for
absolutely.
Me. So that's
nobody, why I don't not mean. Everybody can, you know, like enjoy doing it. You have to enjoy doing it as well.
Yeah, like I put this like in Times Square to the club there.
Yeah.
A lot. And, you know, and I'll throw a couple of shit jokes.
Club, that club?
Yeah. Where selling out the Madison Square Garden is not considered a credit. Oh, my God. That was horrible. When I heard
about
this.
There's no way you were there.
No way you were there.
Because I was thinking in my head.
I heard about this. I was like, how you not? This is what was supposed to happen, okay? Bill Burr showed up. This white man showed up. With a red fucking, you know, mustache. Yeah. And he's like, "Hey, I want to work on a set. You know, what's your name? I'm Bill Burr. You're not on the list. Okay? I'm not on the list." So that's when you go, "Hold on. Let me get a manager." You walk the fuck off. You take your phone out that you've been on for the last 3 hours anyway.
Yeah.
Not paying attention to who's coming in, and you Google Bill Burr.
Yeah.
And then go, "Oh shit, that's Bill Burr."
Yeah.
Then you get a manager.
Yeah.
And then they come back, and then you deal with the situation.
Yeah.
That's what was supposed to happen. But no, that's not what happened. He gets the manager. The manager is like, "Let me get you the booker's number." Like, what the fuck? Bill Burr. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's
weird.
Like, he was really cool about it, though. The first time.
You heard it on the podcast, but it, you could still
he was still
hear,
a little bit, yeah.
Like, yo, these seriously?
What else I got
like,
to do?
Fuck this club. Like, it's like, that's why I never noticed it. You know? let me tell you something about that club. It's a great location. They do a lot of shows at night.
Yeah.
But it's run shitty.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I try to explain to the people who run it. I'm like, listen, you could leave. It's a wheel.
Yeah.
It's a wheel. Like, we know what time we go up, whatever, and it's a wheel. If someone acts up, you ask them to leave. If someone wants to say, "Yeah, I don't want to," they didn't tell me about two drinks. Okay, well, just do one.
Yeah.
Guess what? They might have three.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. But it's just the way it's run. It's just horrible.
Yeah,
but
it happens.
Microphones don't work half the time.
And I'm like, that is the one. You got to squeeze the cord and just
you
like
mean?
A little ways.
It's like we're doing your podcast with one microphone and sharing it. That's not how this is supposed to work.
But at the same time, I've had some electric moments in there. And I know you have too.
No. Again, like I said, as a comedian.
Yeah, and you work it. And
the club is awesome. Fuck it. It's a lot of stage time.
Absolutely.
But the way it's run is shitty.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on a check.
There you go. Yeah.
It's great to have you here, man. It's, you know, felt like I got to know you a little bit today.
Yeah, man.
It was great. I think that's what I always say. It's like sometimes you have to have a podcast just to get to know another comic because we're always like passing each other and not like, you know, really taking the time. So very cool. Kenny Ortega, any plugs? What do you got? Anything you want to plug? Your social media, podcast, anything?
This show is not being sponsored by 1 to 4 Freedom.
I'm gonna get some of that. Get my girl to pay attention to me more.
I'm gonna give you a bottle.
I'll bring you a bottle.
Just in case you get a rash.
We can sponsor. We can sponsor here on the show.
No, I have the HBO thing coming out that I'm doing on the 16th. So that I'm looking forward for that.
Is that what venue is that?
That's actually gonna be at the Chelsea Theater, the movie theater.
Oh, that's great.
That's another reason I think I have a good leg up on that. Is because I've performed at a movie theater before.
Oh yeah.
And that's stadium seating, and as a comedian. When you do a stage,
I put my money on you, man.
There's certain jokes you can't say.
Absolutely.
Because the audience won't get it because of the way they're sitting.
See, you know all this like inside baseball stuff.
I have a great twerking joke that I say where I dropped my phone and I went to go pick it up, but I'm having trouble picking it up. So this guy comes up behind me, slaps my ass, and gives me $5 because he thought I was twerking.
Hilarious.
So I say I've been dropping my phone ever since. I'm up to $85, you know. But I act it out. But acting it out won't work with stadium seating, you know.
Okay.
You won't really get that. I'll be at Greenwich on Saturday. I'll be there, and I'll be at LOL also on Saturday.
Nice, very cool. And your social media stuff?
Social media comedy Ken. You can definitely look me up. Twitter, same thing, comedy Ken.
Very cool.
And Facebook, just Kenny Ortega.
Very cool, man. Thanks so much for being on the show. Very cool.
You can catch you on the 10th.
At Yonkers. Yeah, now I'm going to have to air you this week, just so it makes sense.
Yeah.
I was going to wait a week.
And okay, now my bad. That's
just kidding, I brought it up.
2020. August 10th, 2020.
No, I might drop you. I think I'll drop you. I'm excited. Yonkers Comedy Club. Two shows, 8 and 10. Please get tickets as soon as possible. 2020. We'll be there.
Now you don't have to wear it right away. You can wait. You can wait a whole year.
It doesn't matter. If you're interested in performing stand-up comedy, I do comedy coaching. You can catch me on the comedy coaching, Outlaw Comedy Coaching on Facebook. Look into that. Thank you so much for listening to I'll Leave You With This. Thank you, our special guest Kenny Ortega, and keep being funny, guys. This is what we do. Yay.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.